everybody. Welcome back to the shop. I'm your host, Bud Wiry, and let's get this show going. So I wanted to start off today with something a little fun, and I'm surprised I haven't talked more about it in the previous shows. But I started like a little phrasing, I guess you would say, using the term boondoggle, which would be spelled B-O-O-N-D-O-G-G-L-E. And pretty much what a boondoggle is, it's a wasteful and worthless project undertaken for political, corporate, or personal gain. So with all this stuff that has been going on in the Lebanon, Boone County, IEDC LEAP stuff, I coined it the boondoggle. I added the E in there for the B, and I have it going as hashtag capital B, capital O, capital O, capital N, capital E, doggle. D-O-G-G-L-E. And what it is, so I started the hashtag boondoggle. I've spread it through a lot of the platforms, and I started it just as a way to tag the information across different platforms, just as a way of keeping track of it. And then I just kept laughing about it to myself. So I went to the Farm Kid brand apparel there in Lebanon, and got to talking with a gentleman that owns that. And I ended up getting, we got together and we made some shirts and some hats and some of this other stuff. So, and then I've been having a little fun with that. So the Rob Kendall from the 93.1 WIBC downtown, I've gotten him kind of in on the joke. And I went down there, I met Rob Kendall. I gave him a shirt, you know, we talked about some of this stuff. And he's really gotten involved in it. And he's been looking out a lot for Boone County, Lebanon, and these areas around here that are having the problems with these IEDCs, big programs. And it's been real great. He's given us a ton of attention. But so I happened to actually go down there today. I got the new boondoggle hat in, and I shared it on Twitter. And he was like, man, that hat looks fire. So I was like, of course, I'm going to bring one down. So I put one in a box. I put it in the backpack. Actually, a nice day for riding today. So I took the bike downtown, dropped it off at 40 Monument Circle down there. And you never know. Maybe I'll get lucky and see old Rob Kendall out somewhere, one of these big events, sporting the old boondoggle hat. But, you know, it's just been a real fun project. And it's opened my eyes. You know, we have all this political stuff, and, it, you know, a lot of it's very frustrating. But you got to kind of try to make the best of it for what it is. So, like, the whole boondoggle thing, if you go and you can buy these shirts at the Farm Kids there in Lebanon, or in Lebanon, and I don't make no money off of none of it. It is completely just for the entertainment value. There's not a group behind it, really. But, you know, we just kind of came up with it, made some of this merch, because I couldn't think of nothing better that really nails down what this project is. And you know, and a little update on that, I for those that are following along, last week I was reading you guys some of the emails from the city councilman, and especially one from the city council president. And what in this email he literally said that, and I'm quoting this, current Lebanon residents will not be paying for water from citizens. Now you heard that hit again. Current Lebanon residents will not be paying for water from citizens. Now, and then, okay, a handful of days later, now I got one from Mike Kincaid, another city councilman, and this one reads, citizens will become a supplier of water to Lebanon. Lebanon utilities will distribute the water to those that buy it. So, yes. Citizens Pipeline will have to connect to Lebanon Utilities. So I'm just going to go ahead and put that one on the board, because I told all of you guys right from the start that I did not believe for a second that they weren't connecting it to the pipeline of Lebanon's utility system and infrastructure as it sits right now. And I had them initial emails, and, you know, I had to shoot. I mean, I had to believe him, because, and I still don't think he was intentionally probably trying to be dishonest with me, but what I think we got is nobody really knows what's going on. I think they're scrambling. If you wanted my honest opinion, I think all of this has them in a fluster. They don't know the details of the project. They don't know all the ins and outs of it. All they know is they support it and they're ready to get water in here to get to Lebanon and make some of these problems disappear. And, you know, that's what it is. But, yeah, so there you have it. Absolutely 100% citizens and all its... And citizens' water. I mean, I don't know how many people go into the Indianapolis area, but just the places that they source some of their water, I'm not that keen to drinking out of. I mean, I usually, when I go into Indianapolis and I get something to drink, I try to make it out of a bottle. Because, I mean, they source some of their water from the Eagle Creek. They source some of it from White River. And I know some of the things that feed into these places, and it's just not my cup. So, and everybody's seen the algae problems that the city water's had over the years. And, I mean, for the unfortunate few, I've been one of them that you get a Coke from McDonald's, and you're left wondering what the hell that taste is, and turns out they're having some sort of algae bloom somewhere, and we all get to get a little bit of it. But so that's on Lebanon's plate for what's coming to them. But I got a lot of other stuff I want to move on to, and I don't want to bore us. We even know we kind of covered over that last week, but I just wanted to give that little update. That way everybody's up and going on it. Now, and just to kind of do a little shift here, I was contacted by somebody this last week, and they wanted to talk about and see if I knew who to connect them with to see if they couldn't get some movement on a stoplight at the State Road 32 and State Road 75 intersection in Dover, Indiana. And for those of you that aren't familiar, at that intersection, there's a gas station on one corner, which its parking lot goes all the way to the corner right there with entrance and exits really close. And then just right down the street from it, we also have our senior high school here, Western Boone Senior High School. So in the times of the day, especially when students are coming and going from there, this intersection gets unbelievably hectic. And now with the extra traffic that we're getting with these IEDC LEAP projects in Lebanon, now we're starting to see even an increased amount of traffic right there. And the intersection's just becoming more and more dangerous. And with all the young drivers going through there and everything else, it's to the point like, so something really needs to be done with it. So he reached out, and this is something personal for me. I had graduated my oldest from that school. So I understand the concern of sending a student through that intersection and having those worries every day. So when he brought it up to me and was sharing the concerns and we got together on it, I started reaching out. So I reached out to our local sheriff here, Tony Harris with the Boone County Sheriff's Department. And they've been real good so far. They're reaching out to the state because I wanted to see originally if the state keeps putting us off, I wanted to know if the sheriff's department could come and run traffic there manually, much in the same way they do for like the Traders Point Christian Church over there in Whitestown. You know, so I mean, I've seen them run these large groups of people in and out of things, and we have with this extra traffic and extra danger for the students, I was wanting to see if that was available. And he's not sure 100% whether there might be any permitting that needed to be involved if they were to do that, or any other thing that might prevent it. And so he's reaching back. He was reaching back out. He actually instructed his chief to try to get some of these answers and see if what all would be involved for that. And then maybe if we couldn't also get a public hearing, you know, because what we are is we're in an emergency thing here. So, and then also I filled out the papers with NDOT, and they reached back out, and I was in communication with them today. And pretty much what I got out of NDOT was they have no immediate plans to do anything with the intersection, but they have a 5-year plan of eventually putting a roundabout there, which also begs a whole nother question, because there's three, four buildings, depending on how big of a roundabout they put right there, that would have to be demolished to put a big roundabout there, big enough to accommodate the semi traffic and the ag equipment that goes through there. So, I mean, there's still some questions there. Even, I mean, I found that. It's like, oh my goodness, I don't even know if the gas station owner over there and the other shop business and everything know that this is on the radar. Because, and you know, I might even go down there and, you know, just reach out to them a little bit just to ask, because I know if it was me and other, you know, somebody else found out that the state planned on wiping out my, you know, my established business, that, I mean, I'd want to know. And then maybe they do. I have no idea in that regards, but I might go down and reach out just to see. But so far, that's their current planning. They have this 5-year plan of at some point wiping them people out and putting a roundabout there. And I'm reaching back out, and this is just the beginning, really, because I still want to see why can't we have a stopgap of a temporary stoplight? I mean, there has to be a solution to it. Like either the sheriffs and all them can get together and direct the traffic when the kids are coming in and out. And I have messaging back and forth with some of the bus drivers too. And these people are the people that are put in charge of keeping these kids safe. And when they're telling you that there's a problem and there's near misses and there's, you know, all this stuff going on at this intersection almost on a daily, I mean, we got to listen to them. I mean, why do you put people in charge of it and then just ignore their opinion? So I'm hoping, and I'm really pulling, and I mean, like I said, the sheriff's department is really doing their due diligence on this, I believe, you know, and if they can get us a public hearing on it, I would love to see some of these bus drivers and some of these other people actually come together at a public hearing so we can try to lean on the state, because this has been tried before. You know, when they've had fatalities and accidents there has been petitions in the past, and you know, it's been some years back, but I can remember one going around, and then it failed with the state kind of doing their we don't want to do it right now, shrug their shoulders and move on. But you know, with the state bringing in all this extra development right now, and they're bringing all this extra traffic in, and none of them made any plans to make any protections for these kids. Like, you're going to literally take this road and increase its traffic past anything it's ever seen before, and not even consider the fact that all these children are coming out of the school onto this road with nothing but a flash in yellow and red over a real busy corner. And on top of that, we have it could probably stand a crosswalk of some sort too, because when the kids get out of school, some of them, yeah, as everybody would, if I was that kid, I absolutely would hoof it on over there, cut across the road, and hit that gas station for their snacks or drinks before their game or whatever else activity that has them staying after school. And we're all seeing it, and it just really getting to bother me that we just continually, year after year, look at the same problem. And everybody talks about it. And like I told the NDOT person today, and he asked me when I was going to talk to him about it, because I told him that I had a show here at KNS and it was going to be a topic. And he asked when. I said, well, I'm going to start this Saturday, and then I'm going to keep talking about it intermittently right up until either you guys do something about it, or we're talking about somebody's kid going to a funeral. And that's it. It's like, these people do not ever want to get out in front of the problem. They're so reactive. So we have to wait until something ungodly happens, which ungodly things have already happened there, but evidently it's not enough, or the frequency, not a, you know, you would think that just the proximity of the school alone would make them it. I mean, the optics of it are horrible, and that's what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm going to literally make sure that every single person that should know about this does, and there's going to be on the record communications of these things. And if something bad happens and it's due to their failure of an action, I'm going to make sure everybody finds out about that too. Because these people just shrugging their shoulders about kids' safety while at the exact same time blowing money on all kinds of stupid stuff. It's like, where are your guys' priorities at? So, you know, we're going to stay on this topic. And I'm going to keep pressing these people, and I believe the sheriff's going to keep pressing these people, and hopefully, like I said earlier, if we can get a public hearing, get some put some bodies in some seats, and maybe we can leverage the state to move a little faster. And also in all this, I did have a very interesting suggestion sent to me earlier. That they actually sent the idea of putting what about putting a roundabout out in front of the Western Boone School instead of right there at the intersection? And that way you'd be slowing up the traffic right there at the school, and then maybe you could slow it down there. So there might even be an option, because maybe if we reconfigure and do it down there, maybe we don't have to destroy them people's businesses right there at the intersection. So that's something to think about too. But I kind of want to move on, because I've had all these things in my head all week long that I want to come talk to you guys about, and I'm trying to fit them in while my whole segment's going. So another big thing that I've wanted to get into is what I feel is going to be an impending housing crisis. And these things go for a long time, but I think everybody else is seeing the same thing that I am, which is people talking about insane rental prices. I'm seeing postings of some of the poor apartments, one bedrooms being $1,350 a month, and then some of these new, fancier apartments that Matt Gentry used some of the last of our water on. Well, they are $1,500 plus a month for one bedroom apartments. And when you're thinking about that, I mean, this is crazy money for such a small thing. And I'm seeing this across really every bracket of people. I mean, whether you're looking for a small one bedroom like that, and then you get into a three bedroom, and people are talking $2,100 for rent, something in that ballpark for that. And I mean, you just get left with wondering how some of these people are going to be able to keep affording this, because we're all kind of feeling the signs of the economy slowing down a little bit. And if the wages start to dip along with that, that's going to really put us in a bind. So just for a little statistics, because I like to get a little grounded base view for everybody. And I'm going to use Lebanon as a statistical point, just because I know the most about that area, and the bigger the community is, the better, the easier it is to find out some of the statistical things on it. So Lebanon has 17,000 people, and of the total housing in Lebanon, you have 7,400 units. Of those, 2,294 are rentals, making 31% of the total housing in Lebanon is rentals. Now, of that, based off the state percentage, because I couldn't find the accurate local numbers, so I used the overall state percentage of what subsidized housing would be, and that actually comes out to be roughly 222 housing units would be a subsidized if we went with the state average of 10% of an area's rentals are subsidized housings. And they actually break that down to, so how many subsidized housing per 1,000 people is how they do that. But I crunched the numbers out on it. So, and when we're talking about our supply and demand, so that's part of, and that little subsidizing bit, something that a lot of people overlook when we're talking about this housing problem. Because so we say that there's a total of 2,294 rentals in Lebanon, but we have 222 of them that are subsidized. So you really just got to push them off, because when you're looking at the rental price for a supply and demand, you're going off what's on the open market. So that 10% that goes to subsidized housing, I mean, that's just kind of off the market, because they got their own little game set up right there, and everybody's getting paid on that deal, so nothing changes. So that leaves just a little over 2,000 rentals available for everybody else. And like when I was saying, if you take Lebanon's population of 17,000 and the total housing number, that looks like 2.29 persons per home for the whole town. So you can think there's just not a lot of gravy in that. And so when you have only, you know, you're cutting down your supply by having the subsidized housing, but then the rest of it, there's just not enough to meet the demand. And then you couple that with other market forces that we especially have over here in the Boone County, Lebanon area, which is because of all this development, it's brought in a whole lot of speculators. And, you know, so that you got a lot of companies coming in, buying up a lot of these rental, some of the rougher shaped rental properties that would have been affordable for somebody. And they're fixing them up and they're trying to get this big number, big dollar money out of like a Lilly employee. So we have, and this is extra. So you got, like we said earlier, so you got the subsidized, so that puts a 10% pressure on the available rental. Then you have these speculators coming in, applying these others. And what they're doing is they've kind of created a perfect storm for extremely high rent prices right here in this area. And the big thing is none of this was new information. This isn't something like that just got discovered yesterday. And this is going to bring me up to one of the parts of it that I find the most offensive is, so everybody knows we have a water shortage crisis here in Lebanon, to where nothing new can be built. Well, the mayor spent the last of our water availability to approve apartments and housing that most of the people here can't afford. And that's getting to that $1,900 or, you know, $1,500 a month single bedroom house, and on up to just crazy ridiculous prices, and that's not what the people need. And so, and it's going to get even worse, because like I said, I'm going off the pretense that the people are right here at the breaking point already. And if we have much of a dip or much of an economic depression, this could go from freaking bad to freaking horrible very fast. And what bothers me even more is what would actually be a solution that might help catch some of this are things that the county and the city and the area will never agree to doing. So you got to think. You got a bunch of people. We have a shortage on available rentals to an extent. We have a definite shortage on affordable rentals. And these people are at the breaking point to where we're going to start seeing a homeless crisis in this area. So I was, you know, going over some different ways. What would be the best way to create a bunch of available housing real quick? And there's a couple real ways that you could do that would probably free up the market some. So you could, you know, deregulate some of the housing requirements, which might increase some amount of rentals. Like if you allowed people to, you know, split their homes, or you allowed them to set up trailer on a piece of, you know, extra piece of property they have and make it a rental or something. I mean, just if you deregulated it somewhat, you would get some amount of entrepreneurs out there that would seize on that. And then another way, and this is something that, you know, that they tried to almost get rid of this stuff, like a trailer park, but that is the affordable housing level that a lot of people can actually afford and thrive. Because if you're paying, you know, $2,000 a month for a couple bedroom apartment, And you're working in one of these warehouses out here, you know, you and your wife, even if you're a married couple, I mean, that just gets to be very, very tight on a budget. And that you at that point are just a slave to your job. I mean, if you're just having to work yourself into the grind and all you guys are doing is just barely existing, then we're not doing it right. And people deserve to have another option. Now, I personally think that we ought to solve a lot of the problems that bring rentals down. Because, like I said, if you took away some of them subsidies and stuff and you put everything on the open market, then at some point, so if a rental stays sitting there with nobody renting it, they will have to bring the price down to it. The market kind of evens itself out. And it don't it it's may seem like a small number, but that 10% really kind of affects it, because those would be extra pressures to help lower it, 'cause that's 10% of your bottom earners. And if they were a part of the overall price setting of an area, that would actually bring prices down, or else you would have rentals sitting. So, and that's what the free market does. But when you start putting things like the government gets their hand in these things, that then it kind of it augments the free market to where you can it helps push these prices up. But I'm telling you guys, this is a problem that we're going to have to get out in front of. And what's scary to me is I don't know that anybody will, because it just by history, a lot of our politicians are very reactive. They don't try to get out in front of the problems. Now for me, I've told you guys before, I made my living in industrial maintenance, and almost to a predictive maintenance. So I have this giant plant running with all these different moving pieces. I had to predict what was going to break. That way I could plan for that, whether that meant I had to have certain tools available, certain parts available, or the plan that this happened. Otherwise, a lot of people, production went down. A lot of people went home. People didn't, that, they didn't get the full check. They had problems paying their bills. That's just the way the industry was. And so I was always trying to be out ahead of the problems. And when you do that long enough, that just becomes my mindset. I mean, even in my own house, I have several different ways that I can heat my home. I just get really into a redundant system of trying to think what are the potential problems that could happen, and how will I solve that if I get put into a situation to do it. So, but a lot of the government folks don't really work like that. It's very frustrating to me, but we're all seeing it. We're all seeing the posts almost on a daily about, hey, does anybody know of a affordable rental? Does anybody know where? And the posts are starting to look like other people just going, good luck, and then posting the prices that they are seeing in the range. So we're seeing this already happen. And these prices are out of touch for the area. When, like Lebanon, we have a median income of 63,000, and I think over there in Frankfurt, you guys had, I think it was a medium income of 49. It was something like that. And I mean, these as these rent prices go outside of people's ability to pay, and food prices and gas and everything else come together, then I mean, we're going to have a real crisis on our hands. And I'd like to see everybody get out ahead of it. And that's why I'm talking about it now, because there's a lot of you, and there's a lot of other people in different positions, and maybe a plan, a little bit of a seed of thought. But I'd like to see something get done before we're sitting in a spot where we're having to witness a whole bunch of sad stuff. Because those sort of problems aren't something that we have historically had here. So we don't even really have the infrastructure for a bunch of homelessness. I mean, we have people out there doing good work, working with the people that are doing it. I know Kevin advertises for some. I know that you got the Shalom House there in Lebanon, feeds a bunch of people. There's a another recovery group over there in Thorntown. There's a bunch of them around here. And I just don't want to see it to a point that we're going to overload what services we have available, because they're not going to be used to that kind of a load. And my guess is they're probably already starting to feel that now. But now is the time. An ounce of planning right now would go a very long way. And I thank you guys for joining me here in the shop today. And for those that don't know, I also run a conservative Facebook group, Boone County Cockroaches. You can come try to join over there and kind of catch up and keep up on all the happenings that we got going on in the middle of the week between times I get to come talk to you here. So, Everybody have a great rest of your Saturday. Have a great weekend. See you guys next week.